Hey, this episode talks about domestic violence. Please be advised.
Welcome to Narcissistic Abuse Rehab. My name is Em. Our topic for today is Julie Levine, a coercive control advocate battles a rare form of cancer. For decades, Julie Levine has been a fierce advocate for coercive control legislation, speaking at New England rallies with Dr. Evan Stark long before most people had learned of the concept. She bravely shared her experiences in her blogs, Until You Say Uncle, and Until You Say Uncle Again, providing precious insight to survivors. When Narcissistic Abuse Rehab launched, Julie submitted the op-ed, The Use of Isolation and Coercive Control, and became our first contributing writer. My recent reporting is focused on Catherine Kazanov. She and Julie share striking similarities, two gifted women who married and raised their families in Westchester, both entangled with controlling partners from whom they fled only to face post-separation abuse in the family court system. Tragically, Catherine and Julie suffered relentless punishments from their ex-spouses who took away their beloved children. After years of dehumanizing abuse, Julie, like Catherine and many other survivors, developed cancer. Today, she's battling MPN, myeloproliferative neoplasms, and she needs our help. Her friend, Nancy Payne's Dudas, was kind enough to set up a GoFundMe campaign for Julie. Describing her current situation, Nancy wrote, quote, "One of our very dear artists, friend, customer, and fellow neighbors has fallen upon hard times. She's battling a rare blood cancer and cannot work. She's struggling to stay afloat with her rent, medical bills, treatment, and food. If you would be so kind as to donate to this truly amazing individual, it would mean the world to her," end quote. Now, I've put a link to the GoFundMe page in the show notes for anyone who would like to contribute. But now, what I want to focus on is the role of financial abuse in Julie's current circumstances. In her blog, Julie shared her experiences of coercive control and the years of post-separation abuse that ensued. She describes how her ex-husband, Robert Levine, president of Food Direct, used his substantial wealth to employ damaging legal tactics against her. Unable to match his resources or connections, Julie struggled to defend herself effectively, and like Catherine Kazanov, she lost custody of her children. She also lost her home and financial sustenance. However, Julie won her freedom. Although her divorce was initially denied, Julie persevered. In 2003, she won on appeal by presenting credible evidence of cruel and inhuman treatment by Robert. Sadly, her suffering did not end there. After the divorce, Julie wrote in her blog that Robert continued to subject her to ongoing vexatious litigation, using motion practice as a means to intimidate and threaten her. This, in turn, prevented her from obtaining the financial judgment she was awarded during the divorce proceedings. According to Julie, Robert menacingly asserted that she would never receive the financial judgment she'd won, and that she would be forever estranged from her beloved children. 20 years ago, when her divorce was granted, Julie was already diagnosed with post-traumatic stress. Since then, she's had to live with the perpetual anguish of being estranged from her sons, Jared and Jason, and her grandchildren, who she's never met. It's difficult to imagine the emotional pain she suffered. I've previously written about post-traumatic stress and depression comorbidity with female mortality, because the research is finally catching up with the reality of the many slow-burning femicides caused by coercive control. I know far too many survivors who are the embodiment of resilience, and yet, as Bessel van der Kolk astutely pointed out, our bodies keep the score. Those who work with survivors are aware of the alarming correlation between coercive control and cancer. There's not enough research on the topic yet, but existing studies show that intimate partner violence increases the risk of cervical cancer. Now, I'll put a link to that study for you in the show notes so you can check it out yourself. In my years of working with survivors, I've known far too many who developed cancer in the grip of coercive control enduring post-separation abuse, including Helen Midgley Bryant, and now Julie. I believe cancer is prevalent among coercive control survivors because even when we save ourselves and escape from entrapment-based relationships, we're forced to endure fear without end. Fear of our children withdrawing from us because they're frightened of their abusive parents' vindictiveness and potential retaliation. Fear of never holding our grandchildren because of the abuser's endless power trip. Fear of the erasure of our existence in families we gave birth to, but who are too given to mammonism to show us a granule of mercy. Too often it catches up with us. Chronic depression, anxiety, post-traumatic stress steal years of our health and productivity. As we scramble to rebuild our lives, find jobs, and finance costly therapies out of pocket to recover, the abuser's threats and punishments remain a fact of life. To appease the abuser, sometimes our children choose to harden their hearts and abandon us, triggering a cocktail of fear, sadness, anger, helplessness, and hopelessness. For many survivors, birthdays and holidays are celebrated alone. We endure debilitating illnesses in solitude. We are excluded from family milestones, even by those conceived in our wombs. The stress of these experiences can be crushing. Though it is absurdly unjust, the abusers are enabled to cause further harm to their victims after they leave. This is what is happening to countless mothers caught in the grip of coercive control today, and it's why so many of us are terrified of leaving violent men who are hell-bent on destroying our witness of who they are behind closed doors. We live in a world where Alan Kasanoff and Robert Levine can abuse the mothers of their children with impunity because society still blames women for men's violence. Even within our families, we are often scapegoated and ostracized for disclosing abuse. Echoing Leviticus, we are driven out into the desert by the wicked tribe. I think Catherine Kasanoff and Julie Levine are testaments to why many women are terrified of leaving violent men. The price many coercive control survivors pay for freedom is the loss of our children, homes, livelihood, reputation, and health. Entrapment-based relationships are punitive because abusers know that their expressions of micropatriarchal violence in the household are supported in the meta-patriarchal institutions like the family court system. Those on the receiving end of coercive control are never more in danger of femicide than when we leave what Sandra L. Brown eloquently describes as, quote, relationships of inevitable harm, end quote. We do so amidst threats to our lives, risking the loss of all we hold dear. And now that you've listened to this, my hope is that you have a better understanding of what we're up against. To quote Marie Scu, in case you're wondering, we call ourselves survivors because not all of us make it out. Now it's your turn. If this message resonated with you, please share your thoughts in the comments so we can learn from each other. If it helped you, please like, subscribe, and share it to help grow our channel. We're building this channel for you to help you on your healing journey. Our goal is to become a weekly podcast, but we can't do it without you. So if you'd like to support our mission, please join our Patreon. I'll put a link for you in the show notes. Guys, that's it for now. Be good to yourself, and we'll talk again soon.